Well, I was honored to be asked to come here to Cedarville and speak in chapel during Alumni Week until I found out that it is Spirit Week and the theme for today is Throwback Thursday. I'm not sure what to think of it when they asked me to come and speak on Throwback Thursday, especially when I looked up the definition of throwback. According to Merriam-Webster, a throwback is someone from the past suited to an earlier time. So I guess they needed someone as their token throwback guy. So here you have it, Steve Dye, the throwback guy. But if you will put up with the throwback guy for a few minutes, it really is a privilege to be with you. Cedarville is a very special institution for both my wife Becky and me. Began dating here, graduated from here 1989, 30 years ago, throwback. And two of our kids, as Dr. Wood mentioned, are here, Isaac and Abby, and some other family members visiting here who also have a strong connection with Cedarville. Some of you students sitting out there are individuals I know personally. Cedarville has sent two teams the last two summers through global outreach, and they have blessed our international church in Berlin, helping us to run camps for children and youth. So for these reasons and many more, I'm very thankful for this place. So what we're going to do, you have your Bibles. We are going to open our Bibles and go to a wonderful passage, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. And as you are turning there, let's just maybe set the context for our passage. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Jesus has recently begun his public ministry. He's called his disciples. More followers have become attracted to him. Jesus is in the hilly region north of the Sea of Galilee. It's got to be one of the most beautiful places on planet Earth. He begins to speak, and he gives his first and longest public discourse, which will be known as the Sermon on the Mount. And our passage today is part of the Sermon on the Mount, which a lot of Bible scholars would say is the kernel of Jesus' teaching. Our passage comes right after the Beatitudes. So here we have it, Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. You follow along as I read our passage today. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." May we hear the word of the Lord. Oh, our Father, we thank you for your word. It is precious to us. It is living and active. Oh, it is our very bread of life. We pray through your Spirit today that you would illuminate the word to us. We pray that we would have eyes that would see it, that we would have ears that would hear it, hearts pliable to receive it, feet that would be ready to do your will. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, for our sermon today, we're going to make a statement, and then we're going to ask a question. So just a two-part sermon, not complicated, a statement, a question. So we'll start with our statement. As Jesus' followers, we are the light of the world. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Now, let me ask you this. Which is true? Is Jesus the light of the world, or are we the light of the world? Yes, both, right? Both are true, but one truth flows out of the other. We are only the light of the world because first and foremost, Jesus is the light of the world. We see this theme of Messiah as the light of the world running through the storyline of the Bible. In the Old Testament, nowhere is this theme more pronounced than in the writings of Isaiah. In my morning Bible readings, I've been going through Isaiah. How deep, how rich. A lot I still don't understand, but I'm getting a little more each time I read Isaiah. And I just want to go through some verses that talk about the light, the coming light. Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. Isaiah 42:16, and I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, and I will turn the darkness before them into light. Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Isaiah 63, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And who is this light? We come to Isaiah 49. We come to the second of four servant songs in Isaiah, and we find that the light is Yahweh's appointed servant, the prophesied coming Messiah, who is in Isaiah 49:6, a light for the nations who will bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Well, the Old Testament period ends, and we move through the 400 silent years. Year after year. And the question is, where is this prophesied light to the nations? After 400 years, the silence is broken. As the New Testament opens, we find old man Simeon in the temple, and he's holding in his arms a baby. He looks down at the one he is holding and he says, he is the light for the revelation to the nations. And this baby grows up and proclaims publicly to those before him, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. One of Jesus's seven I am statements. But what's even more astounding is that he looks at his followers, his disciples, and by extension to you and me, and he says that we are the light of the world. Staggering, isn't it? It is the very nature of Christians to be light. Do you realize that? If you have been born again, the old is past, the new has come. You are a new creation, and part of your new nature is that you are indeed light. If we are true to our nature, we'll shine like a city on a hill, like a lamp in a house. Now, let me just say this. We're not the light in the sense that Jesus is the light. Jesus is the one and only true light of the world. His followers reflect the light, like the moon reflects the sun. When you look at the light of the moon, and isn't that a wonderful thing on a dark night to see the brilliant moon? When you look at the light of the moon, you are looking at the light of the sun, S-U-N. When others look at you as a believer, they're looking at the light of the sun, S-O-N. It is the nature of Christians not only to be light, but it's the nature of Christians to be the light of the world. Do you realize this? We are the light for the nations. Our mission is to make disciples of all nations. And the word there for nations is the word ethne, and it refers to people groups. It's not referring to nations as we know them today, areas that are bounded by political and geographical boundaries, people groups, ethno-linguistic groups, groups of people who share the same ethnicity and language. And according to the Joshua Project, there are over 16,500 people groups. And as we move into the future, we're going to have more and more opportunity to rub shoulders with people from different ethne. In the past 50 years, the number of international migrants, and by international migrants, I'm referring to people who are living away from their passport country, like our family is when we are in Berlin, Germany. And by the way, our church has many such people. The city of Berlin has many such people. But we're seeing this more and more, this shift that has happened. Back in 1960, there were 79 million international migrants. Today, nearly 260 million, a more than 200% increase. If you were to put all the international migrants in one new country and call it migrant land, it would be the fifth most populated country of the world. Unlike ever before, we have the opportunity to shine the light of Jesus to those from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation. Brothers and sisters, we are the light of the world. This is what Jesus has proclaimed. So that's the fact. That's our statement. Now let's ask the question. The question is this: what kind of light are we? Now, as we move on in our sermon, we're going to talk about some good news and bad news. And I don't know what you prefer to hear first. There was a doctor who called up his patient and said to his patient, "I've got some good news for you, and I've got some bad news for you. Which do you want to hear first?" And the patient said, "Well, doctor, of course the good news." Doctor said, "Okay, the good news. You've got 24 hours to live." Well, the patient said, "Well, doc, if that's the good news, what's the bad news?" And the doctor said, "Well, I forgot to call you yesterday." So if someone asks you, do you want to hear the good news first or the bad news, always just go for the bad news, okay? Get the bad news out of the way. And in our passage today, we've got some bad news. Here's our bad news. It's possible for us to hide our light. You realize that? That's implied in the passage. Look at verse 15. "Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket." The implication is that it's indeed possible to do that. Now, I'm kind of excited about this. I have with me a replica of an authentic ancient Near Eastern oil lamp. And according to Bible experts, the typical oil lamp of the day was something the size that a person could hold in the palm of their hand. So this might be very similar to the sort of lamp that Jesus was talking about. Now, got permission from campus safety to light this up. We hope that nothing tragic happens, but many of them are on standby if we do have an issue. But as we look at this light, you can imagine how in a small Middle Eastern home, it really would light up the small house. You can imagine that, can't you? You can also imagine how silly it would be to put a basket, not to mention how unsafe it would be to put a basket over this oil lamp. You just wouldn't think of that. We better blow this thing out. All right, here we go. Campus safety just breathes a sigh of relief. You could imagine, again, how silly it would be to put a basket over it. And Jesus is saying, this is how it is when we are hiding our light. And I believe there are two ways that we can hide our light, again, implied in our passage. The first way is this: we can hide our light by not letting others know about our faith in Christ. Many who claim to be Christians don't let others know about their faith in Christ. It's as though they are secret Christians, we might say. Heard a story about a little boy who had a dog. He loved his dog, but really his dog was nothing special. It was just a little mangy mutt with matted fur. But he would take his little dog out for walks, and he was out with his dog one day, and there was a distinguished gentleman coming toward him, and the gentleman looked at the boy and looked at the dog and said to the boy, "Young man, what kind of dog do you have there?" And the boy proudly said, "Why, sir, it's a police dog." And the man said, "Sure doesn't look like a police dog to me." And the boy said, "Well, he's in the Secret Service." And we have many Secret Service Christians, I'm afraid. Let me ask you this. If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Do others outside of the Cedarville family, do others know that you are a follower of Christ? When God opens the door for you to share your faith, do you open your mouth? When is the last time you verbally shared your faith? See, we can hide our light by not letting others know about our faith in Christ. There's another way we can hide our light, and this one is even more troubling, and that is by behaving badly. It's also implied in verse 16. Verse 16 refers to shining our light by letting others see our good works. The implication is that it's possible not to have much goodness to show. The words and actions of many who claim to be Christians are no different than that of non-believers, often worse. Paul in 1 Corinthians 5:1 refers to so-called Christians in the church in Corinth who were involved in sinful behavior of a kind that does not even occur among the pagans. May God help us. Came across some quotes by some non-believers, or maybe not yet believers, on an anti-Christian website. And here's what some of them had to say. Let me just read a few of these quotes. I found these disconcerting. Christians, they love to talk about how loving, dutiful, and compassionate they are, yet I have yet to meet one who does not practice hypocrisy to the highest degree. Another one, Christians, they go to church on every Sunday, and that's the only time they are holy. Another one, their lifestyle does not reflect their Christian faith and values. They cheat and lie and take advantage of others, just like before they became Christians. For some who call themselves Christians, it would be better if they were to stay hidden under the basket and don't come out until they allow the Lord to change them. The late Brennan Manning had this to say. Listen to this. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. If we don't, it's bad news. It's possible to hide our light by not letting others know about our faith in Christ, by behaving badly. But we also have good news. Don't you love the word of God? Yes, you get hit with the bad news, but you have good news. And in our passage today, we've got some good news. You ready for the good news? The good news is this. We can be the light that Jesus calls us to be. Not only is it a possibility, it is an expectation. How? Verse 16 says, by displaying the light. In the same way, let your light so shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The good news, we can be the light that Jesus calls us to be. How? by displaying what Jesus calls good works. Now, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? And the word behind that word for good is the word kalos. And it means that which is beautiful, attractive, a beauty that is manifest, that is displayed. There's another Greek word that refers more to an intrinsic beauty, but that's not what is used here. The emphasis here is beauty that can be seen, beauty that can be displayed. And is it surprising that Jesus would say we shine our light by doing good works? Why didn't Jesus say we shine our light by preaching the gospel? Well, it's because our actions speak more loudly than our words. Maybe you've heard this little poem. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. Or maybe you've heard another one. I heard this one ever since I was a little boy, and I haven't forgotten it. Our walk talks, our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. Can you say that with me? Let's try it. Ready? Let's go. Our walk talks, our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. So good job, by the way. Jesus says it's by displaying good works that we shine our light. So let me ask you this. How do we display good works? How is it that we do this as Jesus' followers? Is it by conjuring up sheer willpower and saying, oh, today I'm going to be a good girl, I'm going to be a good boy? Is that how we display good works? No, it is not that. It is through drawing close to the source of light. That is why we have chapels every day here at Cedarville, so you can feed from the Word of God that is truth. We're in the Word. We're praying to Him. We're fellowshipping with other little lights. This is how we display good works, through drawing close to the source of light. And then from that fuel, we shine. He, as we draw close to Him, He is the beautiful one, right? As David said, one thing have I asked, that I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. His very nature is light. 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. He is the source of light. His very nature is light. And the God-man, while He was here on earth, lived a beautiful life. I love this little sermon that Peter gives to Cornelius and his household in Acts 10:38. Peter is describing Jesus, and here's how he describes Jesus. He went about doing good. So as we abide in His beautiful nature, and as we follow His beautiful example, we shine beautifully. This is our very nature. This is our calling. He's equipped us to be lights. Now, let me just say this, if I could, here to you Cedarville students. It doesn't mean we are a campus full of perfect Truman Show fake people. This is not what we're talking about. We're not a people who, from our pedestal, are pontificating platitudes to others. It's not about that. We are broken people, are we not? We are authentic people, genuine people with trials and temptations. The difference is we just draw upon the grace of God as we work through these trials and temptations. We're broken, but we're beautiful people. Back to our lamp. I won't light it up this time, but it was common for a Middle Eastern clay lamp such as this, or a clay pot. You learned about clay pots yesterday in Don Locke's sermon, wonderful sermon. And he mentioned this, but it's true that often back in that day, the pots, the oil lamps would have cracks in them. And that was okay. They didn't need to be discarded because actually the light would shine more brilliantly through the cracks. And that's how it is with us. We are broken people, right? But we draw from the grace of God, and the light shines through us ever more beautifully in our brokenness. And then what happens when we display good works? People around us are going to see our kalos way of life. We will be seen like a city on a hill, like a lamp in a house. Now let me say this, not everyone will consider our words and actions to be beautiful. You do realize that, right? Here's what God's word says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, that some have allowed the God of this age to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. But the fact that they don't see the beauty of the gospel displayed through our lives in no way diminishes the reality of its beauty. After all, many people don't see God's beauty, but that in no way diminishes the reality of his beauty. In C.S. Lewis's The Last Battle, he tells of a group of bitter, naysaying dwarves who are in a beautiful meadow, but they think they are in a stable. Before them is a banquet table, but all they see is hay and manure. No matter who tries to tell them or how they try to tell it, they won't see the reality of the beauty around them. Not everyone is going to see the beauty of the gospel lived through our lives, but guess what? Some will. And the good news gets better among those who see the light of a beautiful life. Some will even end up glorifying God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says this: man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. When we shine our light, we get to have a part in people living out their chief end, namely to become glorifiers of the Father. If I could just briefly tell you a story of a young man named Ledio. Ledio, here's a picture of us in a coffee shop in Berlin back in the spring. Ledio started attending our international church in Berlin. And Ledio grew up in a Muslim home in Albania. He was studying linguistics and literature at the University of Tirana in Albania. And one day he went to a bank to apply for a loan. And a young man at the bank happened to tell him about a Bible study that was taking place in the area. And Ledio decided to go to the Bible study, but only to learn about the Bible as literature. He's studying linguistics and literature and recognizing that the Bible is a great work of literature, and that is his sole purpose for going to this group. Comes into this group, and the leader of the Bible study, a man named Elton, presents the Bible as much more than just mere literature. And this begins a series of conversations between Ledio and Elton. And by his own accord, Ledio became increasingly angry and aggressive toward Elton as he tried to rebut the Christian faith, but Elton kept responding in love. Ledio eventually came to faith in Christ, and Elton continues to mentor Ledio to this day. Now, I've never met Elton, but Elton is someone who is living out our passage. May the Lord multiply more and more Eltons, and may we be in that number. Amen. here at the end, two questions for us today. First question is this: are you a follower of Jesus? Jesus said, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Please don't delay in coming to the light. Jesus said, believe in me while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. Are you a follower of Jesus? And then if you are a follower of Jesus, here's my question for you, for me as well. Are we shining our light? My wife Becky and I were at the career fair last week here on campus representing our mission, ABWE. And what a joy it was to talk with many of you. And it was so exciting to think that you have your lives ahead of you, but it will go so fast. 30 years ago, I was where you are. Now I'm the throwback guy. It will go so fast. Don't waste your life by hiding your light. As I look out over this auditorium, I see such potential for a display of the light of Jesus around the world. I see hundreds of Generation Zers burning with white hot passion to spread the glory of God locally and globally. As we draw closer to the day that Jesus returns, I believe our light will be noticed more and more. In Isaiah's day, it was dark. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. The darkness is going to increase as we move toward the last days. Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 3:1, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. But the darker the culture, the brighter you will shine. Back to our oil lamp. If we have lights in the house and you could see the flame, but maybe not nearly as noticeable as it would have been if we cut all the lights in the house and we had this single flame penetrating the darkness. And that's the way it is. The brighter, the darker the night, I should say, the brighter the stars. The darker the culture, the brighter you shine. As we move toward the last days, if you shine your light, you will have more and more opportunity to display the beauty of Christ and his gospel. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your attractive ways and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Oh, our great and wonderful God, the source of light, may you draw us to yourself. May we see the beauty of your light. May we be compelled to share the beauty of that light with those around us. Amen. Will you sing with me? This little light is mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I was hoping some of those cell phones would come out. That's all right. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. You are dismissed. Go and walk in the light.